It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
Yo, Paul Lear!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to...
Yo, Paul Lear!
Asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
Captain Radio here, inviting you to another episode of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'm Speak Out host Paul Lavoie, and Dan De Los Santos is here. He's the host of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, and I like to call myself the co-host anyway, right?
Sure, you can be my co-host.
This is the day I'm the co-host. Can you hear yourself, Dan? You okay?
Nope.
How about now? Can you hear me now?
Hey, I can hear
you.
All right. There I am.
See what happens when you master the technology?
Hey.
All right. You have a very special guest in the studio. No stranger to Lake Havasu.
I do.
Its vessels.
I do. And, you know, I have a, if anybody knows me, they know that I have a real passion for Lake Havasu, our waterway, the Colorado River, all our really special vessels that have been here for decades that have made Havasu what it is today. But they wouldn't be those special vessels without a special captain. And today we have Captain Wally Lowe with us today. Captain, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing super. And, you know, I'm excited for our listeners because you've got so much history that comes with your time on the water that kind of spells out what Lake Havasu really has been about for the community. We certainly have our city, but the life on the water is something completely different. And it's a story, it's a history that a lot of people don't usually get to hear. And when they do, they're amazed at just how unique it really has been over the last few decades. So, Captain, how did you get to Havasu?
Well, my family came to Parker, actually, ever since the 60s. So I grew up in Parker. Every weekend we were going to the Parker and learned to water ski. In those days, you had to learn water ski. I mean, that was just a requirement. So up until I moved here, Parker was where we hung out, our whole family. I grew up with it. I grew up with water, driving a boat when I was 12, 13 years old for the family. And Parker was where we hung out. And, of course, at that time, Havasu really wasn't much at that time. We all had fun with the London Bridge moving here in Parker. They were like, you know, what's going on up there? So finally in about the mid-80s, I came out to one of the McCulloughs coming two-night, three-day free, rode on the Dixie Belle.
Oh, wow.
And we bought a lot. And so in 1993, we moved out from Southern California, the Hemet area, Riverside County.
Man. So, you know, that must have been an interesting transition. And you mentioned the Dixie Belle in the early days. Now, that was when Captain Todd had built it and owned it and operated it during that time frame. So, you know, you said you had about 30 years of time spent piloting boats on the water.
Yeah. When I moved here, I answered an ad for the local city parks and recs, and I think Mr. Samp was in charge at that time, learn how to sail. I've always wanted to learn how to sail. I answered that ad, and I took selling lessons. Bob Denny was the instructor. I learned how to sail. From that point on, I started racing sailboats. I became a member of the Lake Havasu Yacht Club. We put on, I put on sail races here. I did that, did offshore California sailboat racing, Newport to Ensenada, the largest sailboat race in the world. I did that 9 times. So that's how I started here, was sailing. Then, I had opened a business here. I got bored with it and I wanted to do something on the water. I met a really good friend of mine, Captain Hans, and he invited me to come and work on the Dixie Belle, or the Dreamcatcher, I'm sorry.
Dreamcatcher, okay.
The Dreamcatcher. And so I started working on the Dreamcatcher, and a year later I had my license in 1999.
My gosh, and the Dreamcatcher's still on the water today.
The Dreamcatcher's still on the water. I think that was launched in 1994, 95.
Right.
So it's still their backup boat to this day.
I was going to ask you that, because I take the Tacopa over to Havasu Landing, and I see the Dreamcatcher docked over there, though.
Yeah, because I'm down there all the time, I see it maybe once a week where they'll bring it over, it's still very much in use over there, and it's still the main backup boat. When the Tacopa's down, that's the boat you see, and it's a pretty amazing boat.
What's that? There's a big size difference between those two. What's that like going from one to the other?
The Dreamcatcher was a 100-passenger boat.
Okay.
And then they wanted to go up to 150. There was lots of times during the snowbird season that we had more than 100 people wanting to go over.
Oh, sure.
So they built the Tacopa for 150, and actually, it's about 10 feet longer and maybe 5 or 6 feet wider is all. But it's just when you go to 150, it's a whole new level with the Coast Guard and things you have to do in sizes, and so it is a lot bigger boat, and the controls on that are not the old steering wheel.
They're not.
No.
On the
they're
Tacopa.
Electronic. Yes. They're, yeah. It's basically a tiller. So that's how you control it. You just have a little joystick you control it.
I don't know if you remember when they brought that boat down from Vegas, but I was in Vegas at the time watching Channel 8 News in the morning, and the traffic copter is over this section of freeway that they're trying to get the boat through. It was on a clover leaf, and they got stuck.
That's right.
It was hilarious. Do you know something about that?
I was watching
that's
TV.
That's how wide that boat is, Dan.
Yes. What they did is they it was in 3 sections, and they transported it that way, and it was wide load. Mm-hmm. And coming through Vegas, the boat was built up in Washington. Coming through Vegas, they got stuck under the overpass. I don't think it damaged the boat, maybe a little bit, but eventually they got it out. But yeah, that's
it was,
and then they took it over there and they assembled it and put it all together and did the sea trials and all that.
Yeah, it was 2 lanes and an emergency lane wide. That's how wide a load that is.
Man,
yeah, it was crazy.
So the Dreamcatcher, you know, certainly has additional histories, and it happens to be our signature boat ride for the Kids on the Colorado River program, thanks to Captain Denise, I believe it is. And so she, along with the Shimoevi Tribal Council, allowed for their participation for not only the cultural side, but to provide the kids, 450 students, with their first boat ride on the lake, right. Annually now, every year. So that's a really big deal. So, Captain, you know, obviously the Dreamcatcher is one of the vessels. Now, how many different types of commercial vehicles have you, or vessels have you captained?
Well, at the time we bought, the Chemehuevi Indian Tribe brought the old Express, renamed it the Cloud Dancer, which was a really nice old, I would call it antique boat. It had the shape of a river boat, and it had jets on it. And so that was a absolute kick to drive, to learn how to drive. In fact, I had captains that could not drive that boat. I mean,
wow.
It was so difficult to drive that a lot of people, when we were on that boat, that was the backup for the Dreamcatcher.
Okay.
So when we were on that boat, I'm sorry, I don't feel good today. I can't come to work, you know. So, so that was a major, that was a really a big deal, the, Cloud Dancer. And then we also bought a boat from the jet boats up in, Laughlin, called the Express.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And so we drove that, that was, that boat went 50 miles an hour. It had 2,000 horsepower. A man diesel.
Wow.
On it.
They promote that one as going through the Topak Gorge and all.
Yeah, that's right.
Between the two cities, right?
But we just use it as in.
Oh.
The Dreamcatcher would take about 20 minutes to make the run. That boat, we could do it in 10 minutes. Actually, we'd be over there in 5 minutes,
wow.
But it took 5 minutes to dock it.
Right.
So, that was a real blast. That was, like I said, it went 50 miles an hour.
No pun intended. A real blast?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, I think what a lot of people don't grasp is that while it's really a cool boat, there's two engines running in the boat, there's two ready to go in it, and there's two being rebuilt.
Yeah, and right, that's about
in
right.
order to keep the boat constantly on the water.
And then about 2002, I started driving the Dixie Belle. At that time, it was owned by the London Bridge Resort, and they needed captains. Dixie Belle is a whole nother level of driving a commercial boat. It's bigger than anything here on the lake. The way it was designed and built, it just makes it very, very difficult to control and to, and so that was probably the most difficult boat I ever drove. I drove that from 2002 to about 2007. And, then I went down to Pirates Cove. And did the water taxis, and also Art Tate owns a yacht, 50-foot yacht down there, 100-passenger yacht.
Mm-hmm.
Drove that for him for a couple years. Would bring it up here for, like, the Desert Storm, things like that. And so I did that. And then my friend Kenny Samp bought a boat, and I went to work for him on the Tiki Bell, or the Tiki, Contiki. And so I drove that up until 2019.
Oh, man.
Wow. So what some of you may not know is that the Dixie Belle, as grand a boat as that has been over the years, it is actually a barge hull that was designed in San Pedro, Long Beach, California, cut in two, shipped here, welded back together, and then assembled later on. So when Captain Wally talks about the difficulty of piloting a boat such as that, you're pushing around a barge, and it did not have a keel, if I recall.
Doesn't have a keel, doesn't have a rudder. You use the motors to steer it.
Right.
There's the problem.
Really? How so?
It's like being on a jet ski. You know how you have to turn the jet ski? You have to give it gas to actually turn.
Correct.
Well, this is two motors that steer the boat. So the motors are moving all the time, and the boat is constantly trying to find itself. You have to stay completely ahead of the boat. Sometimes you look off to the side seeing another boat, and you look back, and you're already starting to get cattywampus.
So, or what's in the boat.
Yeah. It's just, the boat is constantly, when you steer that boat, you're constantly moving the steering wheel.
Right.
Plus, you have no control over the distribution of load, i.e. people.
That's
correct?
Right. That changes it. Also, wind is a big factor on that boat. Huge factor on that boat is so much windage. Everything comes into play. You're at the top of your game when you can drive the Dixie Belle. I mean, you are at the top. If you're not on top of your game, Dixie Belle will eat you alive.
That's the biggest challenge of boats that you've piloted then?
Yes. Also, I went to Houston for a couple months and piloted some boats in Houston, 150-foot, 150-passenger party boats. That was fun. That was a whole different level of experience. Because we were in a very narrow area that they just dredged that you could go through. And if you got off 5 feet, you ran aground.
Right.
And you don't want to run aground. When you run aground, you have to call the Coast Guard and all that.
So, Dan, you've talked about the Coast Guard testing in the past and that, and you were there as part of that process. Were you there too, Captain Wally?
I was there when before. I think I was there. Captain Wally was ready for the water. I had to. We got stuck with the dry land.
Oh,
and
right.
So the Coast Guard testing dry land was just this ongoing process. Hey, and we're glad we have the Coast Guard because they keep us safe.
Sure.
the rules were changing because things were changing in the Coast Guard. And so what was happening, we would go through a series of tests 1 year, as an example. The following year, turns out, those rules had changed. So upon the second set of tests, not only were we being tested on the next phase of construction,
right,
but we were being prejudged on the previous construction.
Man.
And we were being told, no, you're going to have to change this, this. When I say change, add 2 zeros, 3 zeros, 4 zeros, these changes were tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh, man.
Once, twice, three times, until they decided they got it right. And when they finally did, I mean, the Dixie Belle had gone through over $500,000 worth of restoration.
Man.
Yeah, it was quite a job to get that approved. And, you know, the Coast Guard was really, really good. I've dealt with the Coast Guard ever since I started being, when I became a captain. And I did it a lot when I worked for the Chemehuevi Indian Tribes. And I did it for all the other boats I drove. But the Coast Guard is very, very good. They want to help you, especially Keith with the Dixie Belle. They wanted that boat back in the water. And so they really, really did a great job helping him. But he had to bring the boat up to new standards. The boat was built in 1983. It's not easy to bring that boat that old up to the new standards, and that's what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
They constantly were adding things
right,
that you had to do. And so, but he eventually, they got it approved, and we've been getting, it's been going great since.
It's really interesting to be able to say that the boat had been restored, because completely renovated is really the proper
yes.
term. New plumbing, new generators, new everything. But we're going to come back. We're going to take a quick break. We're here with Captain Wally Lowe of the Dixie Belle and many other vessels here in Lake Havasu that we'll talk about. And we'll be back in just a minute.
Yeah, I'm going to try to keep a boat or water theme to the bumper music today.
Good luck. But sail on the wind, man. We're Loggins and Messina.
But hey, there you go. Perfect. All right. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with the host of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. That's Dan De Los Santos. And don't forget the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you in part by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Sitting on a dock of a bay, wasting time.
Summer in our skyships, forever sailing the wind.
There you go, by request. Dan De Los Santos.
Hey, man, sailing the wind.
You like that?
Special days, special times on the Colorado River, and we're here with Captain Wally.
Right, absolutely. The only thing, I think the only thing he hasn't captained is the Big and Crooked.
Ah, well, he's thankful for that.
All right, Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise by Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology at lesolson.com/Kingman, by Prospectors RV Resort, 4750 London Bridge Road in Havasu, where hookups are $645 a month plus electric, and our newest sponsor, you'll love this, The Chair.
Oh, wow, cool.
Dallas and Danny, bringing you Havasu-style dining and great music with live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere overlooking the London Bridge. It's The Chair. And don't forget, we're not streaming live right now at KNTRTalk.com. We're down for website maintenance, but you can still type in KNTRTalk.com. It'll go to our KNTR Talk Facebook page, where you can find a link right at the top. It's already been anchored up there at the top for our TuneIn radio app and the TuneIn page online. And that goes right to KNTRTalk.com. You'll get the stream right there. And we're on the Lake Havasu City app, available at the Google Play and Apple iStore. Oh, guess who's calling in? Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Good. What's happening?
Hey, I just wanted to, you just talked about the chair. I just wanted to let you know kind of a special thing that's going on tomorrow.
Okay. Who have we got?
So, we all know that it's Star Wars Day, right? May the 4th.
May the 4th be with you. Yes.
And, you know, Darth might be stopping by for pictures and just kind of hanging out, dining at the chair, Darth Vader.
Put him in the chair, take a picture, and it'll look like a little mini-me of Darth Vader.
We have a full photo and video shoot tonight, so if somebody wanted to get a sneak preview.
But, oh, nice.
Yeah, he'll be making plates fly off tables and all shot with the Force.
So, Dallas, are you going to play Chewbacca, or what the?
That's a good one. That was good.
Yeah, I don't know.
You got you on
get that growl down.
Yeah, right. All right, well, thanks for the info.
All right, and then the 5th obviously is Cinco de Mayo, return of the 5th. I don't know.
Right.
All right, thanks.
Get the giant margaritas ready for Friday night, Cinco de Mayo. Thanks, Dallas.
Thanks,
we appreciate the sponsorship, too.
Thanks for all you do. Thanks.
All right, you're welcome. All right.
Got to tell you, love the chair. Love Dallas and Danny. Those guys do a great job. If you haven't been down there, the food and the adult beverages are amazing. And you overlook the London Bridge while you're sitting enjoying yourself.
It's the atmosphere.
And you can see the Dixie Bell, I might add,
yeah, right.
From their patio area.
Absolutely.
So we're here with Captain Wally, and he's telling us some amazing stories about how he got here, his time on the water, the vessels he has had the pleasure to captain. And so, Captain, you know, it wasn't all roses. It wasn't a rose garden the whole time. I mean, when you're out there on the lake, I mean, you're in charge of, you know, as many as 100-plus people trying to have a good time while you're out there fighting everything from crowds to amazing weather. What's it like out there?
Well, you have to understand that this lake is one of the busiest lakes in the entire country, not just in San Diego's groups, Coast Guard San Diego group. This is their busiest jurisdiction right here. So the channel is during the summer. I'm not even going to mention holidays. Holidays are just almost impossible. But the channel is always a challenge. Going across the lake when I was doing the ferry boat is always a challenge. You got jet skis jumping your wake. Yeah. You got boats crisscrossing. It's very, very, you have to be on your toes all the time. You cannot not pay attention. And, of course, you have a lookout. And, of course, all of this, the Coast Guard is always in the back of your mind. Anything that goes wrong, whether it's your fault or not, it doesn't really matter. Anything goes wrong, and then you got the Coast Guard involved. And
man,
the Coast Guard, when you get your license, they pretty much tell you, we own you. You know,
right.
Anything that happens on that boat, you are going to contact us, and we'll decide what happened, and we'll decide whether you keep your license
right
or not. So that is always in the back of your mind. So you see people out there that should not be out there constantly,
right.
People that don't know the difference on the rules of the road. You got people in canoes. You got people now in paddle boards. You got people just out on an inner tube in the middle of the lake. You have to watch out for everything. The real problem here is at night. People just... It's weird what people do at night. I've had jet skis jump in my wake at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
The only reason I saw them is because they were on the radar and I could see them going back and forth. We've had people in canoes in the middle of the lake in the middle of the night. You can't see them at all.
No.
Again, we had radar and we could just see a little bit and so we'd stop. But it's a constant challenge to try to keep everybody safe. And I did it for 12 years. I figure I made about 30,000 crossings. So I'm very fortunate because not every captain is that fortunate. But it is a big challenge, and it keeps you on your toes.
Right. What's the advice you can give to a boater sitting in the middle of the lake while the Dixie Bell's coming up on them?
Get out of this way.
All right. We do have a phone call.
Okay, let's take it.
Let's see who's on the line. Caller, you're live on Speak Out on the Havasu Pioneers radio show. Caller?
Hi, my name is Kenny. I was wondering if I could talk to my papa.
Who is it?
Do you have a grandson or granddaughter?
Yes, I do. Chardonnay.
And wants
yes
to talk to her papa?
Oh, Chardonnay. Hi, baby.
It's me.
Oh. Oh, very good.
Who is this?
I was wondering what your favorite tip on the lake was.
What on the lake?
Tip or ship?
Time on the lake was.
Oh, your favorite time. Your favorite, yeah.
Oh, the sunset. I love the sunset. It's every night in Havasu, we're very fortunate because we always have beautiful sunsets. And I enjoy watching the sun go down, and then actually the best time is after it goes down for the next 30 minutes. So I really, really enjoy the sunsets. That's my favorite time.
There's some amazing ones that we have. That's
we have
sure.
amazing sunsets.
Did you have any more questions, or did you want to tell Papa something special?
What's his most favorite trip?
Your most favorite trip?
Trip?
Yes.
On the Dixie Belle? Or
any boat.
Any boat.
On the lake.
On the lake. Any on memorable lake. Trips?
Well, there's been lots of memorable trips, but every trip is a challenge on this lake, and they're all good. Anyone that I dock the boat and everybody's safe is a good trip. So all of them are good on this lake. We live in a beautiful spot here.
He may not have been working during his favorite trip.
Yeah. That's a possibility.
Right. Did you have anything else? Hello?
No.
No? Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye.
That's pretty special. That's pretty. So I want to talk about those trips and the pre-trip. Are you required to do a pre-trip and a walk around of the vessel?
Yes. Yeah. We have a checklist that we go through. We check, of course, we check the motors, make sure that they're running fine. We put it in gear, put it in forward, reverse. We check the lights because we're going out at sunset. Mm-hmm. So we make sure the lights are good. We walk around the boat. Just basically, I had a pilot's license in the 70s. The same thing you do with an airplane. You just make sure that there's nothing falling off or that you can see wrong right off the bat. So we do that every trip, and we log it. The Coast Guard, when they come in, they look and make sure. The first thing you do is you hand them the logbook, and it shows them how many passengers you had on board, what the weather was like, and so on and so forth. So yes, we do we spend at least 30 minutes doing a pre-sailing on the boat.
So what was some of the worst weather you've had to encounter?
Well, probably one of the worst, weathers, we just had last month when we had those series of storms. We were getting ready to go out on the Dixie Belle. We checked the weather. It looked like it was clearing up. So we went ahead and we made our way into Thompson Bay. Now we went as far as the Nautical Inn. It started closing in, and everybody that's been here for a while during the monsoon season knows what we're talking about. So it started closing in. Mm-hmm. We saw that the weather was changing, so we turned around, and when we turned around, it hit us. We have a wind indicator on the boat, and it taps out at 70 miles per hour. And we had one that tapped it out. It went off. The gauge went off.
Wow.
So, the Dixie Belle did, one of the big questions I always had about the Dixie Belle, how was it going to do in wind, mm-hmm. heavy wind, and the Dixie Belle did wonderful. It didn't even, it didn't heel over. It didn't, it was like, it didn't really make a difference. So we sat there and headed into the wind and waited until it calmed down, then went in and docked, and it was
Get to the phone
sure.
call, did the wind hit you broadside, head on?
It
from
hit
the
head on. It was coming right down the channel.
Interesting.
It hit. Thank goodness, it had us on.
Yes.
But one of the questions I had whether it would stay into the wind, whether it would fall off.
Sure.
And we did end up falling off, and it didn't affect the boat at all. So that was an encouraging thing. And the really encouraging thing was the boat would head up again into the wind. So that answered a lot of questions about that boat. And so, it makes us a little more comfortable now.
So Captain Wally's pre-driving the boat. In other words, when the boat is turning to the left and he counteracts it to come back to the right, when he starts to do that, he's already turning it back to the left again before it even finishes doing that. So he's pre-driving the boat.
It's a lot like Speak Out. You have to think one or two steps ahead.
Right.
Absolutely. All right. One more phone call until we go to break. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hello, Paul. David Diaz here.
Hey, David. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. I wanted to ask the gentleman regarding the Dixie ballot. What is the capacity for, you know, if we want to do a private party on the boat? What's the passenger count that we, the max we could get on the boat?
Okay, the Coast Guard's approved it for 131 passengers. We tried to hold it down to about 100 passengers. For instance, we had a wedding on the boat last month. In fact, it was my son. We had a wedding on the boat. We had 80, 85 people. We've had as many as 110 on board. So we'd like to keep it at 100, but we can actually hold 131 people.
And so okay. Also keep in mind that the 131, that includes the staff.
That's correct.
That's
correct.
A total number of participants on the boat.
All right.
Okay, good. I'll be getting a hold of you. We might have a private party you want to do.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah. So to that note, anybody that has a request for information, who'd like to make a reservation, like to learn more about private gatherings as well as evening cruises just for you and your missus, you can go to www.dixiebellelhc.com.
Perfect.
Great. Thank you for getting that boat back up and running. It's a great asset for Lake Havasu.
Thank Keith Thanks, and guys. Gina. They right. work their right. butts
Thank
off.
You, David. We appreciate the call. All right. You want to take another break?
Let's take one more
All
break.
All right. Let's
We're
do
here
it.
With Captain Wally Lowe from the Dixie Belle and many other vessels on our water. And we'll be right back.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Speak Out will continue on this Wednesday, May 3rd. And somebody just dropped a microphone on me. That's called dropping the mic. All right, the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show will continue on Speak Out. Stay with us. All right, we're back on Speak Out. It's the Pioneers, Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Getting a little ahead of myself, thinking one or two steps ahead. Right, Captain Wally?
Right.
Absolutely. All right, show brought to you in part by Arizona Financial Credit Union, also Mojave Community College, SunPower by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, the Lewis Team, Remax by The Lake with Team Leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all natural dog and cat food along with pet toys since 2006. Also featuring those Havasu famous self-service doggy washes. And by Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 52 years. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. And our Havasu Pioneers radio sponsor, Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Don't forget, buy local or bye-bye local, and take a local trip on the lake with something on something like the Dixie Belle. We understand Keith is listening.
Yes, he is. We have Keith, the owner of the Dixie Belle, listening to our show today. And I want to also give a good shout-out to Captain Wally's partner, if you will, on the boat, Captain Tara. She is amazing. I couldn't do this show without bringing her up because she's just wonderful. And Captain, I mean, she's an excellent captain, right?
She's probably one of the best captains I've ever been around. In fact, probably two of the best captains I've ever been around are females. So that tells you a little bit. But Captain Tara picked up the Dixie Belle and nothing flat. And she's very conscientious, and she's just a fantastic captain. I can't say enough good things about Captain Tara. And by the way, Captain Tara drives the boat most of the time. I'm her backup, by the way.
Wow.
So I want to make sure everybody knows that. She, when you go out on the Dixie Belle and Tara's up in the wheelhouse, she's driving the boat. We switch off once in a while, but she is the number one captain on the boat.
Well, I do know we switched off once when we found out we were running on only one engine.
Yeah, well, that's another
that
story.
That was just when the boat went in the water, folks. It was,
that's right.
We were just fine-tuning things.
Yep.
And I got to volunteer for the restoration for over the course of 2 to 3 years, and so did about another 50 people that came to the rescue. And so it was a passion, if you will, to bring the Dixieville back onto the water. So, Captain, you know, it hasn't always been all fun and games. You know, it's a serious business to be a captain on a boat, and sometimes you're put to the test.
Yeah, and that happened to me in 2002. It was Labor Day weekend. It was a Sunday morning on the Dreamcatcher. Our first boat was 6:30 in the morning. That's when we brought the employees over from Lake Havasu to Havasu Landing. We're about two-thirds of the way over. At the time, the Dreamcatcher didn't have a – we had to eventually put up a wall there between the captain and the passengers, but at that time there wasn't. One of the passengers yelled up to us and said she saw a hand waving. And we're, you know, we're in the middle of the lake. And so I looked over to the right, and sure enough, there was a hand waving. So I immediately turned over towards where the hand was. It was probably 200-300 feet away. And all of a sudden, it disappeared. The hand disappeared. So I pull up very close to where that person was, and I walked to the front of the boat. The lady who had yelled about seeing the hand walked up with me, and I looked down, and typically what happens when somebody is drowning is that they see they're going to be rescued and they stop swimming. That is not unusual, and in this case, that's what he did. So when I walked up the front of the boat, he's probably 5 feet underwater and going down.
Wow.
He's looking up at me with bubbles coming out of his mouth.
Oh my gosh.
So I took my shoes off, dove down, grabbed him, brought him up to the top, and had some of the passengers just help us get him aboard. He had hypothermia. Mm-hmm. No heartbeat. His eyes were just looking straight ahead. We thought he was dead.
What month of the year was this?
This was Labor Day weekend, September.
Oh, my God.
The water
wow.
was warm, but he had tried to swim from the Havasu side to the landing side.
You're kidding me.
He missed the last boat at the night. He was staying over at the landing.
Oh, my.
Tried to swim over, and, of course, even when the water is 80 degrees, you're still going to get hypothermia eventually. Huh. He was in the water probably 3-4 hours. So we got him on the boat. We went right over to the landing. The volunteer fire department came. But everybody in the boat, we put him on a seat. Everybody thought he was dead. People were crying. And he just staring into space. We couldn't get a pulse. We couldn't get nothing.
Captain, can I ask you, how far did he make it?
He made it two-thirds of the way over. He
oh,
was
wow.
probably...
Holy cow, Dan!
It's 3 miles across. He was probably a half mile from the other side.
Holy Man. Cow! So about another 15 minutes to the landing once you picked him up.
That's right. Yeah. And that's why we went to the landing instead of coming over and going to Windsor, where most of the time when you have something like that, you go to Windsor
sure.
Bay. They could take him to the hospital. Well, we took him over there. The volunteer fire department... By the way, they were out hunting quail. It was quail season.
Oh, my gosh.
But it took them 30 minutes to get there. And by the time we had put blankets on them, and by the time they got there, he had started it. We could feel a heartbeat. And they saved him. And they took him over, and he spent a night in the hospital. He was a teacher from Garden Grove, California.
That is amazing. And, so, you know,
probably a swim coach, too, now.
And my hats are off to wow. Havasu Landing's support system, because for those guys to show up, Johnny, on the spot, take care of the situation, that speaks volumes for their capabilities.
I thoroughly enjoyed working for the Chemehuevi Indian Tribe and driving the boats all those years. It was a great experience, wonderful experience.
You've really been kind of a unique tie-in, if you will, between the two communities, California and Arizona, using the highway of the lake, if you will, to bond the two together.
I was there when they started bringing the kids over to go to school in Havasu.
Oh, right.
Before that, they were sending them to, what was it, Kingman, I think?
Needles, California.
Needles, and so I was there when we started bringing the kids over. That was very exciting. For
right.
the kids, and they would ride the boat over in the morning. We changed the schedule so that it would work, and then ride over it in the afternoon. It was a great experience.
Just I grew up with a bunch of the kids that went to high school in Needles in Havasu Landing. They're my good friends to this day. Big smiles and hellos to Barbara and little Louie and Bobby Benjamin and Diane and all the rest of the group over there. So, Wally, I want to thank you, Captain, so, for being with us today. You know, it's not very often we get that insight, if you will, to what it's like to be able to be out on that water all those years and on a professional level. And you've taken thousands of people out on the lake.
Oh,
thousands.
The Dreamcatcher averages about 250,000 people a year.
Wow.
Okay, so that's coming and going.
Right.
So it's an amazing amount of people, an amazing amount of times it goes back and forth. It goes back and forth like 18 times a day, times 5 days a week, or 7 days a week, times 52 weeks a year, times 12 years.
So just so our listeners know, if they want to be on one of the boats that you're piloting, what are the other vessels that you pilot today?
I did, for my friend Kenny, I did the Contiki. It's called the Contiki Canyon Cruiser now.
Okay.
And that is a wonderful tour. That's where I learned all my narration, because you give an hour narration when you're in that. And I know everything. I could go for 4 hours because I studied. I owned a bookstore, so I studied all the history. And so that was huge. I really enjoyed that. And believe it or not, after taking a couple of years off, it all came back to me. And I do it now on the Dixie Board.
I know this to be true because I'm a local historian. I get on the boat. I'm having the conversation about the history about Lake Havasu, wherever we're at on the lake, and sure enough, 10 seconds later, you were on the loudspeaker giving the exact same amount of information about that same spot. So, folks, I'll tell you, if you want to know a little bit about Lake Havasu, if you haven't been out on the Dixie Belle or one of the other vessels, take a moment, go online, book a cruise, say hi to Captain Wally and Captain Tara. And get out there and enjoy our lake. It's the other reason we live in Lake Havasu. Thanks so much, Captain.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's take a short break, and we'll come back. We'll have a couple minutes left when we come back. And again, just like yesterday, we have Diamondbacks tickets for this weekend, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday afternoon. 4 tickets for each game. Diamondbacks taking on the Nationals at Chase Field. Give me a call, 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. If you want to see those first place Arizona Diamondbacks, they're on the air right now on KNTR Sports, taking on the Texas Rangers in Arlington, of course. All right, back with more in a moment on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show as part of Speak Out. Stay with us.
This lunch break is gonna take all afternoon. After night, tomorrow morning, I know they'll be held to pay. Hey, but that's all right. Driving down the interstate, running 30 minutes late, singing Margaritaville and minding my own.
All right, we're back on Speak Out, the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Dan, when's the next one?
The next show is going to be June 7th, and so I'm really excited. We're stepping into summer. We're going to have some new things to talk about.
Easy to remember. It's always the first Wednesday of the month, right?
Absolutely. And if you've got a really great, interesting story, reach out to us on the Havasu Pioneers page on Facebook and send me a message. I'd love to hear what you got.
Right, absolutely. What a great show today. We had a lot of people listening to.
It's a great show.
Keith Vernung was listening
yep.
from the Dixie Belle. One of 6 grandchildren called in for
yep.
Captain Wally. So thanks for making this talk radio, not just listen radio. And, of course, one of our sponsors even called in, Dallas.
Well, yeah, because I guess we're going to have Darth Vader show up tonight, right? Over at the chair.
Tomorrow
at the chair.
Yeah, May the 4th.
Okay.
It's May the 4th be with you, Star Wars
oh,
Day.
Oh, man, okay.
Right.
That's going to be fun.
He's going to be there tonight. There's a photo op. Yeah, tonight, right? Absolutely.
Okay.
And then Friday, of course, is Cinco de Mayo.
Well, that's
kind of a big day in Havasu. I was told the other day, you know, no place equals Havasu for restaurants in the tri-state area.
That's very true.
That is a fact.
It's the one day that we're thrilled we have this many Mexican restaurants.
Right. Of course, Hannity's coming up next, but on tomorrow's show, we will not have Brian Springberg, but we'll have Faith and Grace Inc., Kathy DeClark, the founder, is coming in, and the founder of the Clothes Closet will be here, Christine Watson. So enjoy the music going out, Some Beach by Blake Shelton. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out.
is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.